So, parental choice of school. Primary school. There are people who cannot get their children into the local primary school because it's full. So then the question is, okay, if the school only has 50 places and there are 200 children who want to come to the school, how do we choose? How do we choose? You can go, you can't. Who decides which applicants a school takes? Is it the school? Is it the local education authority? And how do they decide? Is it the government? How do they decide? Do they say, we're going to take you because you're a boy and we need more boys? Or do they say, we're going to take you because you're cleverer than he is and we want our school to do well? Or do you say, we'll take you because you're good at music and we want a good orchestra in our school? How do they decide? This is very, very controversial. And the government is making a mess of it, I think, at the moment. They're saying schools can choose by aptitude, but not ability. I'll write those two words up because I'm not sure what the difference is. They are saying schools can choose by aptitude, but not ability. And those are words you might like to look up in your dictionaries and see if you can see a difference between them, because I'm struggling. So aptitude is okay, ability is not. So they cannot say, you are cleverer than her, so we'll take you. But they can say, you're very good at maths, or very good at languages, or very good at music. You have an aptitude for those special areas, so we'll take you. But they can't say, you are cleverer than she is. It's crazy. Parents don't understand it. What is the difference? So it's a mess at the moment, and people are getting very angry. They're saying the government promised this and we are finding we choose a school and our children cannot go. The other issue I've mentioned already, one of the other issue, is testing of school children. Is there too much? Are we testing our kids to death? I think we are. It's too much. They get fed up with it. And parents get fed up. It's not just tests. They have coursework. So it's not just exams and tests, but also coursework. Okay, so for example, GCSE history at 11, 3 pieces of coursework. GCSE English, 3 pieces of coursework. Geography, a 10,000 word project. Maths, coursework. Physics, coursework. And this is as well as exams in 2 years. So children are sort of going, oh, what's due in tomorrow? Coursework for history or maths or whatever. It is, and if the parents are helpful, they help with the coursework. If you have a computer at home, you have an advantage. You do your coursework on the computer. If you are poor or your parents don't help you or you don't have access to a computer, it's much more difficult. So too much testing. And we're also talking about maybe A-levels are too academic, too specialised. A-levels, remember, at 18, still only 3 or 4 subjects. It's still too narrow, too specialised. Do we need something more like what you have in your countries? In your countries, how long is university, BA or BSc? How long is a degree? 4 years. In most countries, it's 4 years because you don't specialise at school. In Britain, it's 3 years because we specialise at school the last 2 years. And most people say, why? Why are we specialising? We specialise too young. Universities, the other big issues are access. If it's 50% of the population, which 50%? The rich people, the middle class people. The present government wants to open it to the poor people to help them to go to university. Who goes? Do you have to be clever or do you have to be rich? Or do you have to be a bit of both? Can you be clever and poor and go to university? Can you be disabled, not able to walk, and go to university? Can you be black and go to university? Can you be black, disabled, and from a poor family and go to university? Yes, we think that's important. We want to widen access so that the best people, regardless of their race or their family background or their physical ability, can go. As you know, fees are coming in. And some people say fees will stop the poor people going. They'll say, oh, it's too expensive. But actually, for poor people, there are scholarships. Universities will give bursaries, money. They don't pay. They won't pay this. But EU, European Union, and home students will be paying £3,000 from October. What do they pay now? Do you know? What do home students and EU students pay now? 1,000. It's 1,200 at the moment. So it's a big increase. It's a big increase. And a lot of this money will be used to allow more people to go. So for scholarships and to go out and advertise and promote universities in the poorer parts of Britain. But not much of that new university is going on this. Staff salaries. More money is coming in, but Reading University, for example, is saying we will give none of this money to the staff. And the staff are not happy because they say the numbers of students has increased. We have doubled the number of students at university and we have had no pay increase. In other areas of life, productivity, if you work harder, if you produce more, if you work in motor car manufacturing, if you produce twice as many cars, you get more money. Productivity is, there's a relationship between work and pay. Universities have not done this. So pay has not gone up in real terms for 20 years, whereas for other professionals it has. So we are voting to strike, and this could affect you. There could easily be a strike. You understand what I mean by strike? Yes. Okay, and the strike will mean we will not mark exams, which will mean people cannot graduate. Not such a problem for you, but it'll be interesting to see what will happen. Okay, so those are the issues at the moment, as I see them.